Good morning. All right, it's good to be here this morning. I'm making it. My knee's okay. So thank you for praying. Hey, Walt. You know, ignore the crazy man in the back. Actually, he's my supervisor. Surprise me here from Penfield. Say hey, Walt. Yeah. Spying. All right, so let's go ahead and pray and open this up. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And we're going to look at an interesting subject this morning, but this is what I feel like God's put on my heart to share with you guys. So I know we've been standing through the songs, but let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. And if you don't mind, 1 John chapter 2. All right, it says, "My children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, to brag on you, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with my brothers and sisters here today. Father, like we all pray, we pray that your will be done here. We give this over to you. We give you this service. We thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, we're going to take a real close look at three words in this Bible message. Okay, we're going to look at the word sins. That's a popular subject, right? It's a good way to get voted into a church. Come in and talk about sin. But, you know, we've got to talk to God about that. But we're going to look at the word sins, advocate, and propitiation. Okay, so what is the biblical definition of sin? Okay, so we're going to really look at that. I love to teach the word, and I'm not going to try to complicate it. Like I said last night, I like to try to keep things simple. But we're going to really try to really dive into what does the word sin really mean in the Bible? Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 1 John 1, 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So the Bible is very clear that we are all sinners and hopefully we are saved by grace, right? So when we study the word sin in the Greek, we find that it has five parts. Now, let me scare you. We're going to cruise through these five parts, okay? But when we look at the word in the Greek, it basically has five parts. So if you're taking notes, here's part one. Part one in understanding sin, it means to be without a share in. To not have a share in. In other words, let's say that I was a farmer here and I owned a 1,000 acres of land and I passed away and I included all of you guys in a share of that. In my will, I gave each one of you several acres of land. But no one else out there in Brooks County or Lowndes County or wherever, they did not have a share in this. Okay? And so as understanding this word, it means to be without a share. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "If you hear my word and believe in him who sent me, you will inherit everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." You see, as believers, we have eternal life. We have been adopted into the family of God. And we have a share of this blessed hope, don't we? So we have a share in this blessed hope. You see, lost sinners do not have a share in this blessed hope. This blessed hope we call salvation or eternal life. They will not share in this everlasting family reunion and eat at the heavenly banquet table with God. So that's the first understanding or point for sin. They don't have a share in it. The second point in understanding sin is it's called to miss the mark. To miss the mark. And see, to be without sin means that we have to be perfect and hit the target every time. And what does Paul tell us in Romans? That no one is perfect. Even in Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, there is not one righteous person on this earth who continually does good all the time and who never sins. To miss the mark means to set a target and try to hit the bullseye every time. You have to be perfect. Okay? Watching the past Olympics. Anybody watch the Olympics, this past Olympics? Some reason I was really fascinated with the archers. You know, the shooting the bows and arrows. It says, think about the archers and the Olympians. The best in the world, top 1% in the world. And they practice on and on and on. But sooner or later, they do what? They miss the mark. In other words, biblically understanding this, they sin. They miss the mark. They're shooting a target, eventually they miss the mark. In Jacksonville, Florida in 1996, there's this guy named Ted Martin. He set the Guinness World Record for the most consecutive basketball free throws. He threw, check this out, 5,221 free throws in a row without missing. That's amazing, isn't it? It took him 7 hours and 20 minutes, but finally, he what? He fell short. He missed the mark. He sinned. Now, not religiously like we understand it, but I'm trying to get the deeper definition of what sin really is. It's missing the mark. It's falling short. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how good we think we are. None of us are perfect. And none of us can always do the right thing every time. We miss the mark. We make mistakes. Which leads us to the third point in really understanding sin. This is the third point. It's making mistakes and errors. That's the third point. To make a mistake, to have an error. Now, allow me to use a few sports analogies. Is that okay? In baseball, glad to see the Cubs in the World Series. Anybody keep up with baseball? Y'all got to get a life. No, I'm just kidding. I know, it's inappropriate. So, Lynn gets on to me if you're saying those inappropriate things. In baseball, no matter how hard the batter hits the ball to the third baseman, if he doesn't catch the ball, it will count against him personally as an error. As we understand a sin. And see, sin will always cost us something. In this baseball player analogy, his mistake or his error or his sin will be held against him in the future. There will be consequences to be paid. And it will cost him probably money, and it will probably cost him his future in baseball. It will definitely determine his future in playing ball. The football player that makes the mistake, the sin, of fumbling the ball, he cannot hide it. Everyone sees his error. And sometimes millions see it on television, right? Okay. Numbers in the Bible, chapter 32, verse 23, it says, count on it for sure. Your sins will find you out. Romans 14, 12 says, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in this body on earth, whether good or bad. Now, this is not Dallas's opinion, right? This is straight the Word of God. But see, our sins have to be answered for. And that leads us to the fourth point in understanding the deeper meaning of sin. And for taking notes, it means to miss or wander off the path of doing what is right and honorable. Or to do or go wrong. Like to do the wrong thing or to go in the wrong direction. That's the fourth one. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 says, when people escape from the wickedness on this world by the saving grace of Christ and then go back and get tangled back up with sin again, they are worse off than before. And this verse goes on to say this, it would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness, than to know it and then reject the command of God that was given to them to live a holy and honorable life. That's sin, isn't it? Most of us have done that. I can't speak for you, but I know I have. Most of us have done that. And what it does, it proves the proverb in the Bible that says a sick dog will return back to its vomit. Or a washed pig back to his mud. Jeremiah 6:16 says, the Lord said to stand at the crossroad and look and ask for the ancient paths of wisdom and ask where the good way is. And then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Very familiar verse, right? Okay, the fifth and final point about sin is this. Sin violates God's law. To violate God's law. Now, when we sin, we understand the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments and all that, the hundreds of rules and regulations that's within the law. And we must also include the New Testament teachings and then ultimately the Great Commission from Jesus. Isn't that right? When we talk about this violence law, we have to include all that. Now see, some of you, I'm going to stay right here. Thank you, Lord. Some of you might be uncomfortable with this, but I'm going to tell the truth. If we go out here in I-75 and we do 80 or 90 miles an hour, according to this Bible scripture, that's called what? Sin. That's called a sin. Okay, Romans 13 is real clear about that. It still tells us that we must obey the laws of the land. And if we disobey, if we become rebellious and defiant, and we say to ourselves, I don't agree with that. That's a dumb law. If we get defiant and rebellious, eventually we're going to what? We're going to get caught. And there's going to be a price to be paid. Usually it's a About $125. I don't know. I hadn't had a speed ticket in a long time. Praise the Lord. Is it more than that now? Yeah. I hate giving them my money. But it's going to cost us something. There's a price that needs to be paid. You see, if you allow lust to get in your heart and you look at another man or woman with lust in your heart, that's a sin. Jesus tells us we have violated one of the Ten Commandments. We can go on and on, but I think we understand where we're going. If we stray off the path of righteousness and become dishonest in our business and financial affairs, we have sinned. The Bible clearly teaches us the importance of honesty and integrity. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, God said, do not be deceived, that he would not be mocked. A man shall reap what he sows. You see, guys, the law of God, the entire Bible, and everything within it really backs us into a corner and reveals to us our desperate need of a Savior. All of us, me, you, young person, old folks, doesn't matter who we are, all of us have broken these laws and standards. We've all fallen short. We've all missed the mark. We've all gotten off the path. We've all done wrong, and we've all broken the law. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 25. He said, so I find this law at work in me. Although I want to do what's good, I keep doing bad. For in my inner being, I delight in God's word, but I see another law at work in me, waging a war against my mind and making me a prisoner of sin at work deep within me. Paul said, what a wretched man I am. Then he asked the question of all questions, who can rescue me from this body? And he lays it out real clear. He says, thank God I am delivered through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Can I get an amen for that one now? Really? Now that we have a good idea of what sin really means, this is the first part. It's three parts of this message. First John. So sin is missing the mark, right? First John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 is our passage today, our message. So I'm going to read that again. It says, my children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the world. So let's look at the second word. The first word we looked at is sins. The second word we're going to look at is advocate. And so let's look at that. Advocate means one that's called to come alongside, to represent, or to defend someone in court. It's like a counselor or a helper. The Bible teaches us God is our rock and our strength. And in Him we have hope. See, the Holy Spirit is our counselor, our comforter, and our God. God is on our side. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, praying for us and speaking with God really on our defense. You see, guys, Jesus Christ is our advocate. The Bible is very clear. And this leads us to the third and final point of the message, is this $50 word called propitiation. Let's say that three times. Real fast. Propitiation. Okay. Let's look at real quickly 1 John 2 and 2. Again, same verse. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the whole world. Guys, propitiation means the turning away of wrath by an offering. Like through an offering, it's to turn away wrath. See, we all were found guilty of sin and in need, really, of punishment. Because there's always consequences for sin. Paul in the Bible was a man of passion. And I really believe that he was so passionate because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does the word gospel mean? It means good news. And so I'm here to share with you guys this morning that as believers, we have good news. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus paid that price for our sin personally. He died on that old rugged cross, and God raised him from the grave. We now have victory over death, hell, and the grave. And sin has no more power over our eternal future. We have been adopted into the family of God. God said that He'd never leave us and never forsake us. He said that nothing could pluck us out of His hand. Jesus is our advocate. We have been reconciled to God by the blood of the Lamb, worthy to be slain for the sins of the world. John 3:16, probably the most popular verse in the Bible, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love Psalms 51 and 2. It says, He washed away my iniquities, and He cleansed me from my sins. My friends, the Bible tells us Jesus is coming back soon. And He's coming back for a bride, for His bride. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for us. And I say, praise God, Jesus took my place on the cross. And He nailed my sins to that old rugged tree. I now share in the blessed hope of salvation. The anxious chains of trying to be perfect have been broken. Some of you guys struggle with this idea of trying to be perfect and trying to get it right every time. You're not going to do it. It only causes anxiety. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Right? He is our advocate. Those chains have been broken. I now walk in the peaceful path of righteousness, of His righteousness, because of His blood, because of His sacrifice. You also can walk in this peace. The Bible calls it the peace that surpasses all understanding. The world doesn't know about this peace. But when we can rest in the loving arms of God, that yes, we're sinners, but saved by grace. He has set my spirit free. He has gave me eternal citizenship into heaven. And He's washed me clean by His sacrifice. I'm ready to meet Him today. Are you? Has your sins been washed? If so, praise the Lord, right? Let's be grateful. Let's always be mindful. Let's always be mindful that we are saved by grace. If you're not sure that your sins have been forgiven, the Bible tells us that the day is a day of salvation. I encourage you right now, as we bow our heads, you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that God raised Him from the grave, the Bible says that you will be saved. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And understand that you may feel backed into a corner. Well, I'm encouraging today to give that to Christ. Give that to the Lord and believe in Him. Let's Let's just all bow our heads and have a little moment with the Lord. If you feel that God's calling you home, feel free to come up to the altar here and we'll be glad to pray with you.